الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات. We are presently discussing about keeping our rozas, fasting, and keeping a complete and perfect roza. Just like in the ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِي, the common translation, everyone knows this ayat and knows the translation that Allah and His malaika, the angels, are sending durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, Rahimahumullah, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Arif Billah, Rumi of our time, the Tabriz of our time, say that is the correct translation, but not the complete translation. The complete translation is that this is, according to Arabic grammar, a jumla ismiya, which shows to continuity. And also the verb that is used, fa'al mudari, yusallun. So that also shows to continuity. So the complete translation is that all the time Allah and His malaika are sending durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, yeah, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, that rozas have been made farad upon you. Many mufassireen have written that on every part of the body roza has been made farad. And that is when we will get the benefit of fasting, of keeping roza. A common example that we give, if a person buys for 5 rand and sells for 5 rand, he might be the busiest man in town for a few days because nobody else will sell so cheap. But he will be the first man out of business as well, because he can't pay his overheads, he can't pay the rentals, he can't do anything. He's not making any profit. He's buying for how much he's buying, he's selling for so much. So that person will not remain in business, he won't enjoy business. He will say, I heard a lot that by doing business you make lot of profit, you have lot of money, but I saw nothing like that happen. In fact, I'm at a loss, I've lost out. That I have to pay all my workers, I have to pay my rentals, I have to pay my overheads, and I can't even pay that. Similarly, many of us, our fasting, our roza, we say we heard a lot that roza is so beneficial, so enjoyable. But since we're not doing it properly, we find that no, roza is like a burden. Roza is like difficult upon us. We're not enjoying the roza, we're not enjoying the month of Ramadan. The reason for that is that we are not making a profit out of our rozas. And what are the profits here? Of course, not rands and cents. That is the last thing that is not to be considered also. But yeah, what are the profits? The benefits of roza. That a person gets the benefits of roza. And roza also fasting, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has said the purpose of it in the words of Allah Ta'ala, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you acquire taqwa. So that is the profit of roza. If we are acquiring that profit and a person gets taqwa, and what is taqwa in our simple language, layman's language, that we learn, we get that capacity, that quality, that to fulfill the commandments of Allah Ta'ala which are directed to us at whichever place, whichever time. And we abstain from all that which Allah has made haram for us, which Allah dislikes. That is taqwa. So rozas have been made for us for that purpose. So if we keep our rozas, what making the profit, then we will get this taqwa. And when we get this taqwa, it won't only last for 11 months, but inshallah for the rest of our lives. But this is the condition that our roza must be kept properly. Today, the 20th roza is coming to an end already. 2 asharas are complete, are almost complete already. So each one of us, we should think that all of us, inshallah, have kept our rozas, we have fasted, we have been making our faras namazes, etc. We have been making our taraweeh, but have we made some profit in our rozas? Has it gone up like a person is doing business and he made in 1 year, he made a very good profit when his balance sheet came out. We saw that he has done it for a fantastic prophet, and but he doesn't employ the prophets to build his business. He loses it out. He goes and gambles it away, or whatever else. He lost it all. Nothing carried forward for the next year. So that the whole next year again he's doing business again. End of the year, he does a good profit, but he doesn't employ it and he doesn't invest it for returns. So same way, if we kept our rosas and we didn't employ what we have acquired for the rest of the year, we lost it out on Eid's day. Today, unfortunately, hopefully not anyone in this gathering, the Eid balls that take place, people who go to the Zoo Lake on Eid's day, and in the olden days, long before Ramzan, your ticket used to be booked in a cinema, etc. already. All those things, inshallah, do not apply. But what we have acquired, we have to carry it forward. As we mentioned earlier this morning, that the pious of the past used to speak and discuss among themselves that who is a mahroom of Ramadan? Who is a person who did not get the benefits of Ramadan? They used to say the one who does not carry forward his ibadat of Ramadan to Shawwal and to the next year. And that carrying it forward means that we should carry on making that ibadat. And to whatever extent we can manage, not that it will be like it was in Ramadan. Ramadan was a different month completely, but at least that ibadat must carry on. Also, just by the way, what Maulana Zubair read about in Fadail Quran, that we should read, the Hafiz should read Quran Sharif at night. For all of us, it's not practical whole night, for we are weak, but at least it will come in the kitab, or perhaps it has come already, that just by reading a certain amount of ayat, a few ayat, not difficult, a person won't be written amongst the ghafileen. If read a few more ayats, he will be written as one as the qanitin. He will be written as one who read the whole night Quran Sharif. Just by reading a few ayat, Allah's rahmat is so great. Like for example, for Jum'ah, and we shouldn't take undue advantage of these concessions. If we have to read Surah Kahf on Jum'ah, but if a person for some reason couldn't, you should read the first 10 ayats and the last 10 ayats. You'll get the benefit. If a person couldn't do that much, the first 10 ayats or the last 10 ayats. So deen has been made so easy. Sometimes, we are occupied traveling, or a person is ill, or a person has got deeni programs. There are many people who have got some wazaif, some readings to do. And this is also very important. Each one of us should have some of our wazaif. As it is mentioned, مَنْ لَا وِرْدَ لَهُ لَا وَارِدَ لَهُ. A person who hasn't got any wazifas to read, he won't get anything coming into him. Like it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that when a person keeps quiet for 40 days for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will make the fountains of wisdom gush from his bosom. Allah will endow him with such great knowledge and such great things, which he will have to say, I never read this in any kitab, I never heard this from any person, but Allah will put it. One person kept quiet for 40 days and nothing happened, no words of wisdom came. So he complained to the Maulana that he heard this bayan from, you said that for 40 days if a person keeps quiet, then the words of wisdom, Allah will make them flow from his bosom. So that Maulana asked him, for what did you keep quiet? He said, for the words of wisdom to flow. He said, the hadith has got lillah, that you kept quiet for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So just by keeping quiet, in which there is no effort, you just keep quiet, but Allah will make the words of wisdom to flow. So Allah is very, very kind, very merciful. Also it comes in the Hadith Sharif, the person who reads, so our wazifas that we have to read after Maghrib, sometimes there are programs, dini programs, there is a bayan immediately after Maghrib. And some places they announce that it will be immediately after the sunnats. And some places they even request before the sunnats the bayan. Immediately after the faras, though we should try and avoid that, the sunnats, there shouldn't be a gap between our faraiz and our sunnat muakkada. That as far as possible. But sometimes they say nobody says. Even if you just speak for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, at least you'll be able to get the message occasionally. That is all right where there is a real demand, but we shouldn't make that the norm. The norm should be, we should complete our, at least the sunnat muakkada. Now there is the bayan, so you can't complete. Allah has made it so easy. If a person just read the three quls, 3 times each, takfika min kulli wirdin. This will be sufficient for you. All normally what you read, all your wazifas, this one wazifa will be enough for you. Or that they read, a person reads the ayat for Subhanallah, Hina tumsuna wa hina tusbihun, wa lahu alhamdu fi samawati wal ard, wa ashiyan wa hina tuzhirun, the whole ayat, then that is also sufficient. But that should not be the norm, that a person takes advantage of that and he says every day he's got or he's occupied. Now we should be doing our normal reading. So like that, Quran Sharif also, when Allah gives tawfiq, for example, we are gone for Umrah. Yeah, we have come for Itikaf. We have freed ourselves. Nobody is going. Who are here for a year for Itikaf. Nobody is going to his office tomorrow. Nobody is going to shop tomorrow. So the night we can spend it. Major part of the night. Part of the night we can spend. We should try. How much we can. We shouldn't just take the concessions all the time. We should try. And when we can't, then use the concessions. Allah has given the concession. There is no problem. So anyway, with regard to the rozas that we have to keep and a complete roza, a complete fast. And I would ask our brothers, those whose language is not Urdu or Gujarati, to excuse the word roza. All understand the meaning. Fasting, I do try and repeat it every time also, but it's just on our tongue. But the fasting, the sawm, the siyam, everyone knows what we mean thereby. So if a person keeps a complete roza, which the ulama have written, that 6 other things we have to keep with the basic 3 things. The basic, al-imsak, to stay away from food, ta'am, wa sharab, and our drinking, and our sexual desires, that a person stays away from that, your basic roza is done, your farad is done. You have kept your roza, you won't be asked by Allah, why didn't you keep roza? But you have done business, but you haven't made a profit. The profit is when you do the whole business, you keep the roza in completion. And that is another example to understand. Of course, the most important is the farad, and we'll get everything on the farad. But the farad also requires, like a person, we make our farad namaz, we make our sunnat muakkada, and there shouldn't be a gap between sunnat muakkada in farad. That is after Zohar, after Maghrib, after Isha, and then we make nawafil also. Then namaz is a complete namaz with all the namazes. Or like a person builds a house, or any structure, any building, masjid, anything. First you just have the columns and the beams, etc. Though the structure is up, but the masjid is not complete, the house is not complete. Then you start putting up the walls, the windows come in, etc. Doors come in, the roof comes up, the ceiling comes up, but still the building is not complete. You have to do the tiling, you have to do the carpeting, you have to do all the other things, and the finishing never gets finished. We get finished, but the finishing of a house never gets finished. That just carries on and on all the time. In fact, today people say, until the outside wall, boundary wall is not done, security wall is not done, security fencing is not put up, and also the garden is not done. So just like that, just having the structure of roza, it's not yet complete. Have all the things done, then get the enjoyment. So the things the ulama have written, that we should keep roza of the eyes as well. That we had discussed, we will just refer it to it a little bit. And roza of the tongue we should keep also. And roza of the ears as well. Three, roza of the heart and mind. Four, then roza of the food. That is, what type of food we are eating. This is also extremely important. Whether it is halal, whether it is halal and tayyiba, it is extremely important. And then the anxiety at the end, the sixth, that whether my roza is accepted or not, All these are extremely important. If a person will keep his roza like that, then inshallah he will have completed his roza, and that person will already by now have seen the prophets already. And as the prophets grow, everyone notices also. You are doing good business, your profits are growing, people seeing you driving a better car now, people seeing you living in a better house now, they see that you are living now in the elite suburbs, these things have become apparent also. So like that, if we keep our rozas, these signs will also become apparent. And automatically, as a person now becomes more wealthy as far as dunya is concerned, you see his lifestyle changes also. Yeah, also our lifestyle will change. Whether before we were glued to the TV, and today that is a very old adage, whether we were glued to the cell phone, whether any difference has come. Alhamdulillah, Allah shukar, that quite a few brothers, after quite a bit of talking and announcements, have handed in the cell phones. Because the i'tikaf really is the meaning really of i'tikaf is seclusion. That we seclude ourselves. But today, the world is in your hand with the cell phone. And you can be in contact with the whole world all the time. So if we really, and our program here is not only i'tikaf, but islahi i'tikaf. Is for islah. The purpose, main purpose here is our islah, our reformation. Otherwise, i'tikaf basically is for ibadat. That a person engages more and more in ibadat. But what we have seen from our first Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Muhammad Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Shaykh al-Hadith, that Hazrat had lot of programs in the day for reformation of a person. So we also tried, and it's more or less the same pattern. There are just little differences. But with that in mind, that not only ibadat, and there also ibadat used to take place at a very high level. I remember some of us must be knowing, our friend Mufti Bashir Ahmad of Stenga. He used to make sometimes the whole night ibadat, and Fajr, two rakats used to be made very short, but in that he almost used to fall also. He couldn't take now that his sleep was to overpower him. And he found it difficult to stay awake even for the two short rakats of Fajr. So this so much ibadat also used to carry on. So that is also a requirement. But yeah, our primary focus is on our islah. And ibadat is required. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. That Allah Ta'ala says, when you have done all your other things, your other duties of teaching in a madrasa, of giving a bayan, you went in jamaat, the whole day you were making ghusht, you were giving bayan, now when you are finished with everything, do so much of ibadat that you feel it. Not just many of us, we just remember that one malfooz of Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, and we just quote this one malfooz, that when you feel sleepy, close the Quran Sharif and sleep away. So we only remember that one malfooz. No, we should make ibadat so much that you can feel that the tiredness comes. Naswa, tiredness, some tiredness you feel, so much, not just a very little bit. So, and that also, everyone, it's not for everyone's cup of tea, everyone's slice of cake, a person should see, if we can, everyone must do how much he can manage comfortably, and try and do a little bit more. So, especially when we have come here and we have freed ourselves, just for our inspiration, which I heard and which was a source of inspiration to me, at least just that for mentally, that one friend who is our Jamaati brother and a businessman, he went for Umrah, and every night without fail, 1:30 he's in the Haram until Ishraq time. All the time busy with ibadat, tawaf, etc. So this is the spirit that we should have. Though, yeah, of course, we have made niyat of i'tikaf. And in case anyone hasn't made as yet, make your niyat, those who are sitting for sunnat i'tikaf. Our just staying in the masjid quietly is also ibadat. Our sleeping is also ibadat because we are in i'tikaf. And like that, all of us, whether we are sitting for i'tikaf or not, whenever we enter any masjid, And especially we should try and remember when we enter Haram Sharif of Mecca, Haram Sharif of Medina Sharif, then we should always make niyat of i'tikaf. For as long as we are there, then we are in ibadat all the time. And also one very important point, valuable point, when we go to Madinatul Munawwara, and may Allah take us all over and over, and with the correct adab, and with the correct zaq and shaq, inshallah, then also make niyat that we have come to the for the ziyarat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the sohbet of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if a person makes that niyat that is in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what greater thing can there be? How much won't this person spiritually benefit all the time? Just sitting there, and that you, I mean the sohbat in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So, rozas, with regard to the eyes, we had explained that one roza was that we don't look at haram, which normally we think of looking at a strange woman, etc. And that is for the people who are outside the mu'takaf. That is not the place of i'tikaf, outside people who have to go to shops, guard your gazes, etc. But today, the enemy and have brought that right into the masjid also. The cell phone, the mobile is right in our hands. And as unfortunately it has been experienced, there are brothers who have got their blankets over them. But the cell phone still gives them away the bright light of this. That they, you make out that they are watching something there on the cell phone. So that we should avoid totally. Also we should avoid looking up at other people. That is people whom Allah has given more of dunya. It comes in the Hadith Sharif. Don't look up at those people, because that will make it, that perhaps then you won't make shukr to Allah Ta'ala for the ni'mat that He has given you. So look at those people who have been given less as far as dunya is concerned. Then also, don't look down at anyone. That is, having a holier-than-thou attitude. That I am pious, this person is not pious. That is very, very dangerous. And if a person is involved in some sin, may Allah save us of all sin, and give us tawbah of making tawbah from all sin, and staying away from all sin. But if a person is became pious also, in the ayat, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah, acquire taqwa, and Allah Ta'ala gives another method there of acquiring taqwa, wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat li ghad, and let each one see what I have sent forward for tomorrow. That we think, make that muraqabah also now and then, that whatever I will be sent forward for tomorrow, what preparation have I made? Like a person is going on a journey, then he thinks now that I've only got a week left now, or a month, I've only got a month, I must make sure I get my visa, I must make my booking, last minute I can't do. So a person prepares in advance. Then he gives a few days, a week before, he gets his bag, he starts packing his clothes, his medication. This I will require. He finds out the weather in that country where he's going to. According to that, he's packing his bag. So we also should see for Akhirah. In fact, it is said, Harun al-Rashid, who was a pious person, with all his daily duties of running the government, it is said he should make 500 rakats of nafil namaz. Now, here again for us, how is this possible? We can manage forget 20 rakats of awabin. And these people with all his other duties, this is also one side where it is a mu'jiza, a karamat from Allah Ta'ala. Or on the other side, when Allah gives barakat. And this is a thing, like people cannot understand how Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali wrote over 1,000 kitabs. How was it possible? This is barakat which Allah gives. That in the West, they claim that Imam Ghazali is not the name of a person, is the name of a whole institution. That one person could never have written just the one kitab, Ihya Ulumuddin. For one person to write that kitab, today we can't read that kitab, we can't pick it up, we haven't got the strength to lift it up also. And they wrote all these kitabs. That time there were no all this, what we have got today, you type one word, and whether you want to just choose that word is there, and you don't have to type the rest of the word. It's all done for you. They had to write everything with those bamboo reeds. and the ink and all that. How did Allah gives barakat? So anyway, Harun al-Rashid, who was a pious king like this, and he had a good friend, Bahlul, who was a majzub person, a person who is excused in many points of Shariat also, because they are in a different world, at a different level. So anyway, Harun al-Rashid had become ill. So Bahlul came and visit him, and then the king has become ill, and they were good friends also. So he asked him how you are, etc. And then he asked him that you are ill. He said, yes. He said, now look, sir, this is your last stages of your life. You are going to be passing away. He said, yes. He said that when in your lifetime, when you used to go to your whole country, every part of your country, you have to go and check things are right, if the things are functioning properly, you should make preparations. He said, full preparations for the accommodation of all his ministers who used to go with, for their food, for their house people, for everyone. Yeah, we should make accommodation for, we should make preparation. On that I remember another very valuable point which our Shaykh Rahimahumullah had taught us, that when a person wants to become an Allah Wala, Hazrat explained this one instance which Maulana Jalaluddin Rum Rahmatullah Ali had explained. I'll come back to Bahlul's story inshallah just now. That one ordinary person, a street walking person, became friends with the king. It happens. And then they became close to one another. Then he used to visit the king regularly. The king used to entertain him. How the king entertains. After some relationship built between the two, then the king said, now one day I'll come and visit you also. You visit me always. I'll also come and visit you. Friends like that. When you come our side, you visit us as well. So he said, king, how am I going to host you? How am I going to entertain you? I see when you go and visit, you go with your whole entourage. Those days, not BMWs and Mercedes, but with elephants, big elephants, and all the people, the whole entourage going, the whole family of the minister going, and the houses are prepared, quarters for the ministers, everything, all these things are prepared. How are you going to come by me? I live in a little shack. So he said, you haven't still understood me. You haven't stood as kings. He said, when I will come and visit you, first I will build your palace for you. And I will make all the facilities for all my ministers who are going to come, all their quarters, our animals that will be with, for all their arrangement, our food, everything will be done. It will be your palace. We will be just be staying a night or two, three nights or something. It will be your palace. This is how we go when we visit. Maulana Jalaluddin Rum Rahmatullah Ali takes the lesson. When we become friends with Allah Ta'ala. And then Allah Ta'ala, so to say, comes and visits us. He builds his palace in your heart. And then Allah Ta'ala makes your heart so big. You didn't have generosity in you, Allah will put generosity. You didn't have knowledge, Allah will put knowledge in you. All the things Allah will do. Now, and our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, out of the many ways to become a friend of Allah Ta'ala, has written one way, that just start meeting Allah on a regular basis. Now, how do you meet Allah Ta'ala? Just fix a time to make zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Like you want to make an acquaintance with somebody, you phone him first, and then you start visiting him. Every day you visiting him, or every week, the day you don't go, or the week, he will ask, where is that friend? He used to come always. Today he's not here. Like our friends, we see some of them here. We see they are missing. We ask, where are they? We're not seeing them. What's happened? So if we fix a time to make the zikr of Allah, and every day in that fixed time, this is now sitting and meeting Allah Ta'ala. And if we, so to say, we don't turn up for our appointment, we didn't come and meet Allah. Allah knows, but so to say, Allah will inquire, where's my friend? Every day he should come. He hasn't come today. So in this way we can build that friendship with Allah Ta'ala. And the minute that friendship is built, and it has come to its required level, Allah will build his palace in our hearts. Which is again carried out in that Shah Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali of Allahabad. Hazrat said that from the ayat, look at our kabir. Oh, how, what uloom and what ma'arif they've extracted from the Quran Sharif. That in this ayat, إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا وَجَعَلُوا أَعِزَّةَ أَهْلِهَا أَذِلَّةً وَكَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. That about Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, etc. And Bilqis said, the normal practice of kings is this, that when they conquer a country, they cause havoc and destruction there. And especially their opposition that they have. Those people where there is a possibility, even on the slightest chance, that they will come back in power again. Those people are executed, or they are put into lifelong imprisonment, or they are sent to small islands for torture, and they are kept there for life, so they don't interfere with our government now. So just like that, when Allah's government comes in the heart, then all, so to say, Allah's opposition, that they mustn't come in overpower again. Music, for example, or cell phone, the wrong use of the cell phone, the wrong use of the eye, Allah overpowers all this. And Allah throws it out of the heart. Allah puts it in prison. Allah destroys it. Now this land has been conquered by Allah Ta'ala. And Allah does not allow that any enemy must have a chance to come over here. So this is how when Allah Ta'ala, when He takes over, this is how He takes over. So very easy to become a friend of Allah Ta'ala with that little inabat. Anyway, Bahlul, he asked Harun al-Rashid, when you should go and visit all your places, then you should prepare. He said, full preparation. Our intelligence also, our accommodation, everything we should prepare. So he says, now you are on your dying bed and you are going to the year after. What have you prepared for there? And this whole story starts where the king, Harun al-Rashid, had given a walking stick to Bahlul and told Bahlul, you like a majzub, mad person. Like a stupid, mad person. When you find somebody more stupid than you, give him the stick. So Bahlul came back when he heard the king is ill, and then he asked the king, what have you prepared for your qabr? Though he was a pious person, but who can he prepare properly? And a person who knows reality will say, I haven't prepared. Like one sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came Bedouin and he asked, when will be the day of Qiyamah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what have you prepared for the day of Qiyamah? He said, like that, I've got no preparation, but only that I've got love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al mar'u ma'a man ahab. A person will be with whom he loves. May Allah grant us the true, genuine love from the heart for the Ahlullah, the Awliya, where they will be. With this muhabbat, Allah will put us with them also. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the genuine, true love for the true Ahlullah. So anyway, Harun al-Rashid said, I haven't prepared. Then he said, I haven't seen anyone more stupid than you. And I'm returning your stick back to you. That you haven't prepared for the place you're going permanently to. Where you are going for 2 nights, 1 night, 3 nights, you made so much of preparation. And where you are going permanently. So this is, and this is a month that we can prepare for that. Eh? This morning, Allah put this thought, I shared it with the brothers, I will repeat it again. And this also is, like for example, a person for Awwabin Namaz, which is between 6 and 20 rakats after Maghrib. If we, especially now when we are in Atikaf, etc., once in a lifetime, let us make 20. Normally we only look for the minimum amount. 6 rakats, our awabin is made. Tahajjud, 2 rakats, minimum tahajjud is made. Sometimes make 8, make 12 also. Ishraq, normally 2, make 4 also. Our dhuha, chaat namaz, we normally make 2 rakats, it's made. That's a minimum. Sometimes make 12, and when we have got the time, we go for umrah. We don't have to be making guests of the shopping areas, etc. We don't have to be completing our sleep when we go for Umrah. Try and make our 12 rakats of Isha, of Chasht, etc. We should try. So anyway, a person who makes his Awwabin Namaz, he gets a sawab of 12 years of Ibadat. Now for us to understand that in a simple way, and which will inshallah hopefully make sense to us, is that a person who is earning, for example, his monthly salary is 10,000 rand, 15, 20, whatever it might be. And a person, the boss tells him that I've got this customer, he has come today 5 o'clock, is knock-off time. We close the shop at 5. But he's come from the farm, from a very far place, and he's a very good customer of ours. If you'll stay 5 minutes extra, 10 minutes extra, I will give you the wages of 12 years. Any boss in the world will give wages of 12 years for that 5-10 minutes extra. How long does it make to take to make 6 rakats of a wabin namaz? Doesn't take all that time. But Allah says, you're giving me extra time now. Your faris, you are knocked off now. Sunnat-e-Muakkada also you made, you can take leave. But you're giving me just for another 4 rakats. You read 2, another 4 to make it 6. Or you read another 6. And then 6 rakats will take us 10 minutes perhaps. So how long is it going to take us? What our short surahs that we normally read, it's not going to take us. But Allah says, I'll give you the reward of 12 years of ibadat. So Allah is the giver of this or like this. In the month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala says, I will increase your wages also. That a nafil will become 70 nafils. A faraz will become a faraz will become 70. So if your wages is 10,000 rand, and in the month of Ramadan, Allah says, the ibadat and the work you're going to do, your service for the month of Ramadan, then not 10,000 rand, and for every faraz, 70 is multiplied by 70. You got your job description, this are my duties, my faraz, which I have to do. For each one, Allah is going to multiply it by 70. So if you are getting 10,000 rand, 70 times 10, how much is it? 7,000. 700,000 for the month of Ramadan for every faraz. And 7,000, it really brings water to the mouth. But what is the whole... Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah alayhi has written, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was once flying with his whore in his plane, which Allah had given him. And what a speed it had. 1 month's journey in the morning, 1 month's journey in the evening he should cover. And with all the jinnat and with everyone he was traveling. One mard-e mu'min from the ground saw what Allah had given to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Rabbi habli mulkan la yambaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Give me such a kingdom that nobody can get after that. And this is what Allah had given to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Till today nobody has got kingdom. Whatever people might have got, but they haven't got what Allah had given to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So he just said, Subhanallah. And the wind conveyed this message to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Immediately he landed there without any of the radars, without any landing strip or anything. Wherever he wanted to, he would land. He landed and he asked that person, what did you say? What intelligence he had? Who can have intelligence like that? And then he said, he was shocked. He said, I said nothing. He said, no, what did you say now? He said, I only said Subhanallah. And why? The amazement of what Allah had given to you. He said, your one Subhanallah is by far superior than all this what Sulaiman alayhi salatu said. So the sawabs, what can this rains, no matter how much of water they bring to our mouth, and our accounts are bursting. The accounts can't hold that amount of money now, they're bursting. But the sawab, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes, and this is quite clear, Hazrat says, that one Subhanallah sawab is forever and ever. It will never get finished. And it is going to give you the values of Jannat, not the values of dunya, the values of Jannat. And Allahu Akbar, if we hear the description of Jannat, a person is totally baffled, amazed. Allah, the creator of Jannat, Allah is such that Judge Akbar Ilahabadi says, Tu mere dil mein aata hai. Meri samajh mein nahi aata, main jaan gaya, yahi teri pehchan hai. When Allah is beyond comprehension, then if we think of it, this human body is beyond comprehension also. Nobody can analyze and know the human body as it is, as what Allah has made it. Just on the other day we were giving an example. It's winter, today is not so cold, alhamdulillah, but some people have got jerseys on, woolen jerseys. Allah knew right from since ever that on this particular day, the 20th of Ramadan, Yes, sitting in Azadwell, this particular person will be needing a jersey. And I will have to grow that wool on a sheep in Australia. Eh? That sheep, and then that wool will have to be sheared. For the shears, they will be coming from Germany. And for those people working in that factory, they will need I don't know how many machines. For all that machines, and all the people operating those machines, they will need their families to be in order. The children will have to be going to school. The geyser must be in order. The fan must be in order. We can't imagine for one need of a human being. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. If you want to see the greatest proof of the existence and the qudrat and the kamal of Allah, is you yourself, O insan. And we cannot exhaust the subject. And then jannat which Allah has made, Allahu Akbar, where you will have whatever type of وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. And all this نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورِ الرَّحِيمِ. What won't it be like? Ya Allah. And also remember one thing, that many of us, we ourselves, Allah save us, our close people, Allah save us all. Many people we know are going through, who are paralyzed, who are bedridden, people have got cancer, what and what it is. May Allah protect us all and give shifa to everyone. But all this 10 years a person is lying bedridden, paralyzed or something. Eh? But from in the year after when it will go, we will realize there it was not even the prick of a pen. It was nothing. And it was not even 2 minutes, our whole life of 60, 70 years. 10, 15 years, may Allah save us all. But when if it has to come, may Allah give us that sabr also. Eh? But we make dua that Allah protect us, that these things don't happen to us. Our close and dear ones, Allah has mercy on this entire creation. On the fish also, the birds also, the animals also. On all of Allah's creation, Allah has mercy. But really, compared, we just looking at the small gap of our 2 minute life of this dunya. And akhirat, which is eternal, we are not comparing it with that. If we have to think of it there, we will see, no, the person who has the worst problems in this world, compared to akhirat, he will realize, I had no problems whatsoever. So our eyes are not on that life there. Our eyes are only on this dunya. And we compare ourselves with other people in dunya. That is why we find that, no, my problems are insurmountable. I've got so many problems, I've got so much of difficulties. If we just come to see it in the right perspective. And what is Iman? Iman is just to accept reality. The truth, to accept the truth, that is what Iman is. Allah is there. Allah's Qudrat is there. Just to accept that. That is all what Iman is. The Akhirat is there. Qabar is there. Just to accept this reality. That is what is Iman. So the same way that eternal life of Akhirat and this short, very, very short life of dunya, we are attaching everything to yet. We are narrow-minded. We are living in a cocoon. And people who are living it up in this dunya, they regard those people who are narrow-minded, who are not looking at dunya. But these are the people whose eyes on the... These are the actual ulul albab, the people of intelligence, the wise people. May Allah Ta'ala make this month of Ramadan that we keep our rozas with all the requirements so that we can fulfill and we can prepare for that eternal life of Akhirah. Inshallah. Subhanallah.